Hi, welcome to a very special episode of the Oral Commerce B2B Uncut podcast. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Sheehan. Today's episode is going to be a little different and very special. So today's episode is from a webinar that I recorded with Michael Vax, a very noted and tenured B2B expert who has worked for some of the top names in B2B e-commerce software over the years. He has his own website and course and educational offerings called Commerce is Digital, and in which he provides really valuable advice to businesses and people placed inside of organizations that are undergoing digital transformation. And he teaches you how to do it and how to do it well and maybe what to avoid. Had a really great conversation with Michael on a webinar some days back. And it was so good that we wanted to make the content available to people who were subscribe to our podcast feed and maybe didn't go through the registration process or didn't see the LinkedIn banner for the webinar. So, really excited to present this. I think you will find it very interesting. Without further ado, here's the webinar.
I would say it's ability to personalize experience for customer. And I'm expecting that in near future, we're actually going to have the systems that can do it in real time. I'm really imagining the future when I'm looking at the product and system knows about me as a customer and what I need and to do and automatically filters product for me. Or even goes to the point where I change product description. Because system may know that I'm using this product for one purpose and you are using it for another purpose.
Welcome to B2B Commerce Uncut, a journey through change. On this podcast, we have honest, hard-hitting conversations with thought leaders, distributors, and innovators in digital commerce and transformation. We explore not only the success, but also the challenges that manufacturers, distributors, and wholesalers can face in achieving successful digital transformation for their companies. This episode is brought to you by Oro, a leading innovator and provider of customer-driven, powerful, and connected open-source software for B2B digital transformation. Oro seeks to build long-term, trustful relationships with its customers, integrators, developers, and technology partners by empowering people with the best tools to digitalize their business. Find out more at oroinc.com. That's OROINC.com. And here's your host, Aaron Sheehan.
Welcome to all. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever time zone you're in. We'll have a range represented here today. And of course, this is a recorded webinar, so the recording will be sent out to registrants afterwards. So if you're more than welcome to share it once you have it with a coworker or friend, colleague, and we'd be delighted to do that. And when you share the webinar with a friend organically by sending them a copy of the video, they don't get put on our email list. So lucky them. Think it's a very considerate way to share good content with your friends. All right. We are at 3 minutes past the hour, so I will go ahead and I think kick us off. I want to start with a little bit of housekeeping here because normally these are panels. These webinars are panels with multiple guests. Sometimes I'm moderating, sometimes I'm a guest. But today is a very special occasion because it's just the two of us. It's two bald guys. And Michael Vax will get first crack at answering the questions. Then maybe I will respond to the question I just asked him and we'll have a little dialogue. We'll put a poll question up on the screen for those of you who are B2B buyers and B2B sellers. If you're a manufacturer distributor or you're somebody who buys from manufacturers and distributors, please contribute to the polls. We will sweat the questions pretty hard. And then at the end, if we have time and we should have time, we will take questions from the audience. As I said, this is recorded. A little birdie also told me that this might be going out as a special episode of Oro Commerce's B2B Uncut podcast. So if you would like to listen to this without being blinded by the glare off of our heads, you will be able to do that via Spotify and Apple Podcasts and whatever client you use for podcasts. So I'd like to introduce Michael Vax, joining us from sunny and beautiful Barcelona. He is a legend in the B2B e-commerce world, and he is graciously lending us his time and expertise. Michael, can you please tell the audience who you are and why your opinion matters?
First of all, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. in Altavox, I spent, I don't know, maybe 25 years in e-commerce, mostly on the vendor side. So I led program development in major e-commerce platform companies. I was a CTO of a company called Elastic Pass in Canada. And I also worked for Hybris, which is a SAP Commerce Cloud, where I was head of product, and also worked as VP of product for a Sprite. And from these 20-something years that I spent in e-commerce, probably most of the career was spent on B2B and developing B2B functionality and advising customers on B2B functionality and so on. Now I also try to help industry by really closing this knowledge gap that we heard about e-commerce implementation in big companies, especially in B2B area. So I created a company called Commerce in Digital, where I'm doing consulting and also offer training, both business and implementation-focused training on B2B e-commerce.
And I am sharing my screen right now where you can see the Commerce is Digital, specifically the B2B course. Actually, you have multiple B2B courses, right, Michael? So this is just one of them?
Yes. One course is focused on implementation team. Again, all courses are vendor independent and doesn't really require technical background. But the second one is more on business aspect, how to organize your commerce team, your business, optimizing it, and so on. Some businesses are still quite new to e-commerce, especially B2B is quite a complex one. And really, it's just about helping people to learn more about best practices, how to implement, how to select programs, how to make it successful. Because it's really about knowledge. Sometimes just having system is not enough. You need to know how to use it.
I think always that's the case. No, that's an excellent introduction. And I have put a link to the site to that specific course in the chat. So if anybody wants to click on that, Michael Vax, I'd be interested in seeing your Google Analytics afterwards to see how much traffic Oura was able to drive to your site. I'll introduce myself briefly. I would imagine that a lot of the people who are tuning in and watching this know who I am because I do a lot of Oura's webinars and podcasts now, but I'm Aaron Sheehan. I'm the director of product marketing at Oura Commerce. I've been in the e-commerce space for less time than Michael, only 10 years, technology a bit longer than that. And funny enough, I have ended up doing an awful lot of B2B commerce in that time on the implementation side. So most of my 10 years has been spent at an SI or a series of SIs doing the consulting and the delivery of digital transformation for manufacturers and distributors across a variety of platforms. And I am happy to be at Oura Commerce here because Oura is, to me, unquestionably the market leader in capabilities for B2B companies that is really unifying sales across all of the digital touch points. I have a longer TED talk we might get into a little bit later about sort of the function of commerce inside of a B2B sales organization. But I want to start off, the topic for today is a little cheeky. This came about a couple of months ago. Michael and I were talking and we were comparing notes about the B2B commerce space. And I think we both noted that there's a statement that gets made often, which is B2B buyers want a B2C experience. B2C is sort of the North Star for what, if you are implementing a B2B commerce program, both on the platform selection and then how you run it, you're supposed to think of, I guess, target or a consumer brand as sort of like the goal. And I think we both thought that's really not right, but it sure gets said a lot by people in the space. And I was looking at a report that Oura Commerce had commissioned through WBR, and there was a survey here. Which of the following are your top pain points in terms of some of your buying experiences today? And if you see the results here, if you go all the way to the bottom, you'll see the second to last pain point is missing features standard in consumer e-commerce. And the things that are at the top are localization and customization, accurate pricing, accurate stock, accurate information. Basic things that are, people aren't thinking of it in terms of, I want a zero friction consumer experience. People are thinking of it in terms of, I need to be able to tell my buyers how many I have in the warehouse or in the distribution center. And I think that's such a key point. So first question then, Michael, why don't B2B buyers want that consumer experience? And maybe what do we mean by consumer experience when we say that?
Yes, yeah, it's a super interesting topic. And as always with complex topics, there's no simple yes and no answer. There are some aspects of B2C experience that B2B buyer wants, but there are definitely parts that they don't, and they have specific requirements. But I think the right place to start is, what's the difference between B2C shopper, let's call them shoppers, and B2B buyers? What are their objectives? Why actually are they coming to the site? Yeah? And the main difference for me is that B2B buyers come to do their job. They didn't come because they need something. Interested in buying some new golf set or some clothes or something, they really have job to do. And this really differentiates them substantially from objective perspective. But also, it's people who have really under pressure. So when I'm thinking about B2B buyer, I'm imagining like a screen all covered with sticky notes.
How did you know? You can't see it, can you? It's not. Okay.
I'm not saying that your screen is covered, but definitely that are super busy people. And in addition to be busy, in addition to need this to job, the cost of error is really huge. Usually there's no free return in 30 days. And also, if you're not receiving the order in time, your production line may be affected. It's really a big pressure on these people. And that the experience should be done for optimizing their productivity versus making it enjoyable, making it, so really different objectives. And this is why B2C experience, maybe with a lot of ads, with a lot of kind of videos and all that, may not be the right one. So we need to optimize for very busy people who needs to do their job and minimize their chance of mistake. Also, we're talking about chance of mistake, and I'm sure we'll discuss it a bit later as well from different aspects. There's tremendous amount of information available about these B2B products. It's a complex purchases. Not everybody who is buying it is an expert, people who are selling, but not the buyers. Yeah? So that's a kind of really great complexity. So we need to optimize our productivity to make sure that people understand what they're buying, minimize mistake. That makes experience by itself already very different. What do you see now?
I agree. And I think of it a little bit in terms of friction. I think that if you think about how so many players in the consumer technology space, what they've been selling for the last 5-10 years, removing friction is a big piece of it. And so there's an obsession with faster, more convenient. There is a buy button now on every flat digital surface in the world, your refrigerator, your glasses now, your television. You can consume anywhere, but to get to the point where you can, as a consumer, click the buy button on your television, let's say, to buy a shirt related to the television show that you're watching, so much context has to be set in advance for the thing you're buying. You must already want it. You're looking at an advertisement for the thing. And so you know what it is that you're buying. You'd simply have a commoditized expression of commerce there. And yet, I think that a little friction is actually a good thing in B2B, especially tires that have no friction are not very useful. And so friction can be a good thing. Friction can establish trust. And I think friction can convey a little bit of a sense of value. What I don't mean is the kind of friction that comes from a slow system or taking a long time to get information. Going back to that survey that I shared just a moment ago, disjointed buying systems that don't communicate is a big problem for people, right? And so nobody wants to wait around for an answer. As you pointed out, this is high pressure with a high cost of error. I cannot simply click a button and assume that I will get what I need when I get it. And I think people would rather talk to a human than in general when they are trying to establish that level of trust. And I think that a chatbot just doesn't give quite the same feeling necessarily. I do want to go ahead and put up a poll question. Let's see. This question is aimed at the sellers. If you are a manufacturer, if you are a distributor, you are a supplier, even if you're a retailer, I would be curious to know the primary method that a customer uses to buy from you today. And so if you could please take just a couple of seconds, it's a very easy single choice poll. Just put in an answer. I'm curious for my own intellectual edification to see what is the state of buying today. Because at Oro Commerce, we work with so many different companies from around the globe. We get very different answers to this, and it's very different by region and by vertical. And so I'm just curious to see, as a general rule, how are people buying today? I would say, looking at the results, the clear majority is still phone or email or rep. To that point about friction earlier, it is still the default. There are ways to change it. I think it is changing and evolving, but for most of the companies I speak with, pure play e-commerce or pure self-service, Michael, that's still a minority of the overall buy.
Let's talk more about friction, because I think you it's a really good term and the little discussion we have around it. Yeah? And I want to switch to a different side and say where B2C experience is good. And B2C experience is definitely better when a new customer comes to your site. In most cases, in B2C, I go, I may register, I may not register, but I can buy. In B2B, many businesses start with this gated community or walled garden
mentality,
which I think is really outdated, because everything about internet, the main thing that internet brings and e-commerce brings into our all buying experience is transparency and openness. And I understand the reasons why many B2B businesses say, okay, you need to register, we need to sign a contract with you before we can do business with you. You know, it's historically how they work. You know, so there's some probably change here. But if your competitor actually allows people to see products, allows people to buy immediately, you're putting yourself in disadvantage. Still, there are some legal reasons to do so. And what I always advise customers to do is, okay, you may not open your entire system, but see how far you can go to this openness. Yeah. For example, may you publish your catalog? Okay. Maybe not your custom-made product. Majority of your product probably can be shown to customers without requiring to log in, and use it as a way to actually get the attention and require them to actually put something in the cart. You may not show prices because most of the prices in B2B are custom-specific. But I'm sure everybody has default price list. At least, again, for a simpler product, why don't show it? And you can tell customer register and you'll get better prices. Then there's a question, of course, of payment methods. And yes, in B2B, you buy on credit, on terms and all that. But now practically every business has credit card. So yes, you have a new customer who wants to try you out, who show him the product, show him your default prices, and maybe allow to buy on credit card. They say, again, please register, and we'll get better terms, and we can do some credit check on you. I worked with some B2B customers in Europe who actually integrated the systems with credit bureaus, different countries they do business in, and they do an initial credit check online while you're just trying to buy. So that's really something that is good in B2C. And then I encourage B2B customers to adopt it.
Good advice. I'll add one before we move on to the next question. I'll add too, I have seen marketplaces used as a proxy for doing this very thing, where a B2B marketplace, not like a consumer Amazon, but a B2B specific marketplace where the account is basically not yours. You're just getting a transaction at the other end of it, but you are using the marketplace as a channel to develop leads for buyers to get a hold of your products at a price that you are willing to accept. And then you can establish a relationship afterwards if there is a fit between the buyer and your company. And so it is one of the reasons actually that at Aura we have a pretty robust marketplace functionalities, because we have customers who are using marketplaces as well as their own buyer portal and their own website as ways to also bring in third-party products. Maybe they manufacture, but then they also have distribution and supplier agreements with the third parties. They can reach a wider variety of people. And then for some of those relationships, that customer can actually get the stock in their hand on the factory floor in their facilities. And then they'll say, oh, I'm going to call. That's really good. I'm going to call and see what else they have, right? Because I know it's not all in the marketplace. Very good point. Second question. We've touched on this a little bit. What are the expectations in a B2B context for good customer experience? And bonus question, do you think those are different between someone buying from a manufacturer and somebody buying from a distributor?
We already touched onboarding, customer onboarding experience. It's definitely it is. I think the main expectation actually is that you do have e-commerce, digital way of buying, yeah? Especially with changing generation of buyers, new generation coming in for them, kind of buying digital is, okay, how else? Yeah. Now, there's other aspects, of course. I touched already about payment methods. B2B payment methods are very different, but you need to have them. Yeah, that is a customer experience. Right there, because if I don't have proper B2B payment methods, that means that payment should happen offline. And then the additional reconciliation, confirmation, approval and all, which is definitely degrades customer experience. The other thing, and this is also what really differentiates B2B buying, is collaborative process. In B2C, usually I'm buying. Okay, I may ask my wife for advice on the sofa cover, but that's about
approval.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'll get a drop.
There's a different purchase order approval process. Yes.
Yes. But in B2B, it's a standard practice. And somebody in the organization has technical expertise and knows what to buy. Somebody is actually responsible for approving and owns the budget. You know, so the approval process and all that. Yeah. And somebody in procurement department actually is placing the order. So this is what really differentiate B2B platform like or from B2C e-commerce platform is buyer is organization. It has many users. They collaborate with each other. There's a workflow. So that definitely to support this, people don't want to, okay, I'm on the side, but in order to get approval, I need to print this order. So they go to my manager and needs to sign, then I need to return, send it to procurement department. So all of this approval process, all the collaboration process should happen online. The other thing that people expect is to get advice. And we probably both came across a situation when sales team in the merchant consider online kind of threat, okay? Something that's going to be, but in reality, it's something that empowers them to be more productive, to reach more customers and really have a way to provide this expertise. Because in B2B merchant, people who know their product the best are either people who actually work for it. It's maybe manufacturer or maybe distributor. And these are people who have expertise. So the question is how to integrate this expertise and providing expertise to customer inside digital buying process. So you need to have things like that as ability to create a request for quote, and communicate back and forth between seller and buyer on the same request for quote. Ability for salespeople to access online store and do things on customer behalf. Advice, add something to cart, suggest, offer additional discounts, kind of things like that. So this collaboration between people with expertise and buyers who need this expertise should be across all different channels. Again, nobody cancels phones or WhatsApp, yeah? But it also needs to be natively integrated into workflows and functionality of e-commerce system.
And yeah, absolutely.
That is absolutely.
No, I'm going to go ahead and launch. This is a really good time to launch the next poll question, which is for buyers. And this is really probably everybody, because I think all of us buy for our businesses at some level. How many people from your team are involved in the buying journey, including the approvals and payments piece that you were just talking about, Michael? And I want to add that one thing that I've seen done well in companies that made this pivot to e-commerce or were able to get their catalog and some of their buying and account management online is you said sales authors often resistant to this, but you also said something really critical, which is that buyers are looking for the expertise. Something I have seen executed well is to take sellers and turn them into product experts or service experts or whatever it is that is being sold. And so their role is no longer the gatekeeper between an order and the fulfillment of that order. Their role becomes in generating trust and demonstrating expertise with the accounts that they already have. Yes, there will always be people who pick up the phone and or fax the order in or come in and hand you a piece of paper or mail in a catalog order form. But as more and more buyers become used to digital self-service, some of your team can transition into being the experts. And let's be real, at a lot of companies that I've worked with, the experts are usually a relative handful of people who are wearing a lot of hats. They are doing a lot of jobs. They may be working in the factory, in the distribution center. They may be on the road. They know a lot of things, but to get the answer, you have to like get a hold of them when they're rushing from one place to another. You need more people like that. Moving to e-commerce does not mean you're laying people off. It means you're retraining and reskilling people that you have to add more value. Fundamentally, the purpose of digitization, digital transformation is to add more value to your buyers. So I think we have some good answers here. The clear winner here, 90% of the respondents to this question have 3 to 6 or more people involved in the buying journey, including approvals and payments, which to your point, it is a team of people buying from a team. It is not an individual. I want to move on to the next question.
Just before we do one more thing, because of this collaboration thing, One thing that people really improve people experience is to having multiple shopping carts, because usually in big organization, more than one purchase is in process. So this collaboration happens on different carts with different people with different permission, and this e-commerce system should provide this.
Yes, absolutely. It could be cards. It could be lists of some sort recurring purchases. Like, yes, we see that a lot across our customer base. One of the things that Oro supports is the idea of saving shopping lists for future use. I have a monthly replenishment order because if I'm buying consumables, it's pretty predictable what I'm going to be needing. I may have to adjust quantities, but I know what size filters or what size couplings or what size fuel or oil or lubricant or whatever it is that I'm buying. I kind of know in advance, and I want to be quick because, again, I'm buying for my job. I don't have a lot of time to spend browsing your catalog every single time to find the right product, which brings me to the next question, which is about product discovery. So I think for me, I don't know about you, this is the place where it's just loudest to me about hearing that B2B buyers want a B2C experience. It is about the product discovery. And I think that's because the vendors who are saying this are usually front-end experience, personalization, search and merchandising vendors. And what they're really trying to solve is delivering high-quality product information on time, on target to the right buyer. And we still use the word catalog, which to me echoes sort of printed, like the Sears catalog or printed the Uline catalog in the US. And the giant doorstopper shows up at my office like once a month. You've worked with a lot of manufacturers and distributors around the globe for a long time. What is it that the B2B buyers actually want for product discovery? And how's that process different from how like a consumer might be thinking of product discovery? And again, I think we've touched on pieces of this, but if you could put it together for everybody who's on the webinar.
I think that especially for distributors, products are huge, and usually product taxonomy is quite more advanced and complex. And in B2C, you can kind of get away with just putting everything in description and title and don't having many structured attributes. But in B2B, you need to be precise. And you're going to have a lot of attributes. You might have a lot of different variants of the same screw. It can be more than 100 of them. You know? So the question is, you need to structure this information, and you're working with structured data like attributes and non-structures like description. Structured data allows you to do faster navigation and filtering and comparison of the product. You need to select from 100 or from even 10 screws different. Okay, they have diameters, they have lengths, they have different form of heads, different materials and all of that. All of this need to be structured information you're doing. Why it's more difficult for distributor? Because they receive information from multiple sources, which is every manufacturer can send them data in different format. But when customer going to site and try to discover a product, customer doesn't care. Customer would like to see everything structured in the same way, everything consistent categories and all of that. So now there are some different tools to manage it, especially when it comes into play. And I'm actually working also with one startup doing this, but in fashion industry, but principles are the same. That is really what differentiates and problems that you have. And then, of course, all the search and merch tools, it's worth investing in them, especially when you're filling this huge catalog. And that's specifically for B2B, the other thing you can do, because sometimes customers need to buy complex product or complete combination of product because they have a project. So really, you need to have bundle, but in many cases, it's configurable bundle. Select this, then based on what you selected, you can select next one and so on. And for this, you really need to develop this kind of step-by-step walk customers through this complex process. And that will put less pressure on your support team because customer can figure out something. But this is kind of a call to guided selling. So in some complex scenarios, you need to do this guided selling for buying configurable bundles or configurable products.
No, that is an excellent point. I would then be remiss in pointing out that Oro Commerce just released the update to its configurable kits functionality with the latest 6.0 release. What you're describing is what is often referred to in the industry as CPQ or configure price quote workflows as well. We see this a lot, especially in manufacturing, and there really aren't a ton of great systems. Oh, there's a lot of systems, but there aren't a lot that are really great in my mind that do this, but you can pre-configure a configurable bundle for a particular type of client or even a particular account or a specific individual, even inside of a subsidiary of an account. And you can say, here, we have pre-configured this, but you have options still within the kit. There could be services. Maybe there is some contract service contract management attached to that. This is something that we have customers using OroCommerce to do today because of the CRM capabilities and the catalog capabilities. And now the configurable bundle, configurable product kit feature. And this is a great way of doing product discovery where you are curating an experience that is guided, to use your term, it is guided selling, because many buyers do not have time to simply like go to a search bar, search through. Let's be real, to use your distributor example earlier, most distributors are selling literally hundreds of copies of very almost the same thing. And considering how this good supplier data is, often there won't even be a picture on them, or it will be the same picture repeated dozens of times. And so the more that you can put the right products and pre-build and pre-configure them in front of your buyers in advance, you are saving them time. And to your earlier point, it is pressure. You have to buy the right thing. The more you can remove wrong turns from the buyer journey in B2B, the happier your customers will be because the time is the money. I do want to go ahead and put up the next poll question here, which is about seller priorities. So if you are a manufacturer or distributor or supplier or wholesaler, what is a key priority for you in the next 12 months to improve this buying experience? So we just sort of talked about product data, pictures. If they stink, let's be honest, there often aren't any, or they're not high quality. But we've also talked about customer service issue resolution, and that can be a buyer wants to find information about a product. Maybe they're having to call you to figure out how to configure the bundle. Customer onboarding, we talked about that. Can that be easier or faster? And then finally, self-service account management tools. So let's say e-commerce, by the way, is not on here necessarily. It has a thing called e-commerce. Because e-commerce shows up in every one of these. If you implement e-commerce as a channel, the transformational process that you go through should improve all of the things that are on this poll. But a lot of times what people really want from e-commerce is a customer-facing portal into the ERP. And that's what that last option is about, self-service account management. So can I see my orders? Where is my stuff? How much do I owe you? Can I pay my invoice? Do I have a wish list or shopping list or shared shopping cart or quote active? None of those things involve actually going through a checkout with a credit card, but all of those things involve revenue coming into your business and happy customers. So we'll give this another few seconds for folks. This is getting a lot of answers on this. This is good stuff. And then we'll move on to the very final question, which is going to be about AI, because you cannot do a webinar in the year of our Lord 2024 without talking about AI. And I am sorry, it is just the world that we live in. But I want to make it a little bit more of a focused question, Michael, which is, first off, I want to say you've written a book, I believe, on this topic of AI.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. So the question for you is, name one way that you think AI is going to make the B2B buyer experience or customer experience better. One way you're afraid that it might make it worse.
Let's start with the worst, which also can make it better. Yeah? Many people now experimenting with the chatbot and adding them to the customer support. Customer expectations with ChatGPT release about quality of this bot went over the roof. So when you're putting, and I recently just published a blog on this, what things not to do when putting AI chatbot, you can look at that. But what I want to emphasize is that when customer interact with a chatbot on your site, in his mind or in her mind, they interact with your brand. And if bot doesn't help them, just wastes their time without giving, okay? They think this bot is stupid. And by association, it also goes negative thinking about your brand, which you don't want, okay? So there's a great capability in these bots, and you can use them correctly, but there's danger. So this is one thing that I see a lot, unfortunately, happening. People rush to put them in, and this is becoming a bad experience. Talking about a good experience, again, super difficult for me to limit myself to one, but I would suggest to look at AI impact in two ways. One way is how it impacts customer experience, and this is a topic of our webinar. There's also AI impacts productivity of backend operations. is another thing to consider, because this will actually save you money. So the first one hopefully will improve the sale. But if I need to pick up one, then I would say it's ability to personalize experience for customer. Then I'm expecting that in the near future, we're actually going to have the systems that can do it in real time. I'm really imagining the future when I'm looking at the product and system knows about me as a customer and what I need and to do, and automatically filters product for me, or even goes to the point where I change product description, because system may know that I'm using this product for one purpose and you are using it for another purpose. And soon this technology became so affordable that it should explain to me how this product can be useful for my business.
Absolutely.
So these are things that I'm really excited about.
I was having a conversation with a large European manufacturer, customer of ours, a couple of weeks ago. And one of the problems that they were trying to solve was they sell across a very wide, they have a huge catalog. They manufacture a lot of different things, but they're mostly in the same general product family. They're simply packaged and sold to different industries in different ways. But the problem that they are trying to solve is that they have customers who buy only a very small subset of their product line. They have a belief that those customers would buy more if they knew that those products existed, if they went out of their way to go through. And this is to your point, if you know who your customers are and you know what they buy, and this sounds dumb a little, this sounds a little obvious, if you know what your products are. And I say that because an awful lot of people in this space don't actually know what they sell in great detail. Like a rep might know what their book of business looks like, but there may be very few people who know everything that is available and for sale. And this is not only a great way, like the process of moving online is not only a great way of learning that about your own business and digitizing it for future use, it's also a great way to think about what the next set of products should be, what the next market should be. AI can do quite a bit, I think, to make that more efficient and more effective. I really appreciate the time here. We have a poll question, which is actually the bonus round. So if you've made it this long, congratulations, you've made it to the bonus round. Consider this follow-up to the last question. If you could add one more buyer journey or customer improvement over the next 12 months, what could it be? And it's a short answer. You can type whatever you want to. You can say anything. Extra credit if you say something that Michael or I have already mentioned, because then we feel better about our position as thought leaders. But like, really, you can say anything you want to. And we are super, super welcome to that. And I just want to say thanks to everyone for attending. I think this has been really valuable. It's been very entertaining to host. I think you've got a lot of knowledge. And I really appreciate you sharing it with our audience today. The links to your site, Commerce is Digital, in the chat here. And of course, that should be available to those who watch the recording. But if it's not, what's the URL?
commerceisdigital.com.
Hey, perfect.
All commerce is digital now.
That is right. Whether you know it or like it or not, it absolutely is. Thanks again for your time. Those who are listening to this later, happy we were able to meet your expectations and give you a digital copy. As I said, this will be a special episode of the podcast. When that goes out, we will let everybody know also so that you can share the podcast with your coworkers. Or if you'd like a copy of the video, please send me an email and I will be able to get a copy of that to you and to anyone else in your org. Thanks so much and have a wonderful rest of your day or evening or whatever time that you are in. Thanks so much. Thank you, Michael.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to B2B Commerce Uncut, a journey through change, powered by Oura. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. This episode is brought to you by Oura, a leading innovator and provider of customer-driven, powerful, and connected open-source software for B2B digital transformation. Oura seeks to build long-term, trustful relationships with its customers, integrators, developers, and technology partners by empowering people with the best tools to digitalize their business. Find out more at OuraInc.com. That's OuraInc.com.